At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A former school board member is suing the Richardson School District and the school board, claiming they violated the state open meetings law. KERA's Stella Chavez reports.
David Tyson Jr. served on the Richardson School Board from 2004 to 2010. In the lawsuit, he alleges board members had discussions about votes on agenda items that did not take place during public meetings. The suit, filed by Brewer Storefront, says the school board voted unanimously on more than 500 votes during the past 7 years. Attorney Bill Brewer said board members had what's known as walking quorums or walking meetings to avoid the requirements of the law called the Texas Open Meetings Act. School board meetings require a quorum or a majority of trustees in attendance in order to conduct official district business. The lawsuit alleges that some board members, but not enough for a quorum, would gather privately or correspond by text messages, emails, or voicemail messages to reach a consensus on upcoming votes. Attorney Bill Brewer.
The discussion and debate that is obviously necessary on items of importance are all done in secrecy outside the opportunity for people who live in the district and whose children are attending the schools to actually see why and how decisions are being made.
A spokesman for Richardson ISD says the district is aware of the lawsuit but can't comment until it's been served. This is the second lawsuit Brewer Storefront has filed against Richardson ISD on behalf of Tyson, the former school board member. The previous suit, which is ongoing, alleges the district's at-large system for electing school board members violates the Voting Rights Act because it denies fair representation of African Americans and others who aren't white. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Trinity Overlook Park along Beckley Avenue in West Dallas is launching a series of family-friendly events this month. Folks with the Trinity Park Conservancy are hoping the events introduce people to this area, which will eventually be called Harold Simmons Park. KERA's Gus Contreras has more.
You can get a pretty good view of downtown Dallas standing on the banks of the Trinity River levee. That's if you know it's open to the general public. It's where Trinity Conservancy CEO Brent Brown hopes to see thousands of people enjoying a park by 2022.
Doing everything from riding a bike to having a picnic to kicking a ball with their family, you know, just around. And the Simmons Park will be the central kind of gathering space for our entire city.
Right now, the space is open. And this summer, the Conservancy is offering classes there on outdoor activities like hiking and canoeing. The Conservancy is starting to design the 200-acre, $50 million park. But first, the group will be hosting public forums starting in September for the community to provide input on the park. Brown says it's important for the park to reflect the community surrounding it.
As we plan the park, we must understand the economic impact and that opportunity and how the long-term benefit can be harnessed in a way to ensure or at least assist for affordable housing and for other public goods to happen.
And until the park debuts, Brown hopes people stop by and check out the space and start taking in the views. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
You can learn more about the summer events at trinityparkconservancy.org. And we'll hear more from Brent Brown with the Trinity Park Conservancy. That's coming up Friday during Morning Edition. Mexico and the United States share much more than a border. The two countries are intertwined socially, economically, and culturally. Today on Think, guest host Courtney Collins spoke about the state of this relationship with Andrew Seeley, president of the Migration Policy Institute.
And I think quite often we think of Mexico as a symbol for our own debates. You know, we talk about building a wall. It's less about Mexico than it is about our fear of our role in the world, in the global order, our fear about immigration more broadly and maybe demographic change, our fear about whether we can compete. I mean, you know, in some ways these are symbols. And frankly, for Mexicans, the United States is often a symbol, right? It's often a caricature of debates that Mexicans are having about their own country. You know, hopefully we will get past that. And my sense is in the long term, yes, we're in a choppy period, but most of what's going on between the two countries isn't that. Most of what's going on between the two countries is really creative engagement. It's film, it's innovation, it's, you know, solving an airport problem, it's trade with Texas, right? It's people making cars in, you know, in one city in Texas and making cars in a city in Guanajuato in Mexico, and they're making different parts of the same car. This is a relationship that in the long term is going to become deeper and deeper and much more integrated, but we're going to have to go through some choppy waters to see it.
Andrew Seeley is the author of Vanishing Frontiers. This episode of Think Radio is tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. When tornadoes ripped through North Texas the day after Christmas in 2015, people lost jobs, treasures, homes, even loved ones. First, the storm damaged Lindsay Diaz's house in Rowlett. Then a demolition company tore it down by mistake. This KERA's Courtney Collins reports as part of the series One Crisis Away, Still on the Edge. It took a long time for those financial scars to heal.
Like a lot of just-turned three-year-olds, Adian is in the business of creating. Today, his medium is Play-Doh. And he's got big ideas.
Making a snake. Look
a snake. You want to make a snake?
Yes.
As Adian and his mom, Lindsay Diaz, patiently roll Play-Doh into snakes on the island in their new kitchen, a rumble can be heard just outside their front door. Crews are taking down a tornado-damaged house across the way, 2.5 years after the storm that destroyed it tore through Rowlett.
My fiancé, he told my son, look, there's Rubble's truck from Paw Patrol. And I was like, what? And I looked out, and there was the truck or the excavator picking up all that concrete. It was just, I was like, wow.
When the storm hit on Christmas weekend in 2015, Diaz and her fiancé jumped in the bathtub, shielding baby Adian. His room took the brunt of it.
Because his room was right along the front wall, and the front wall just was completely caved in, and the bricks were all inside his crib and just all over the place, and a lot of the baby stuff that I had purchased for him, and even some things that my mom passed down to me from when I was a baby, was in that room, and it was completely destroyed.
She was relieved everyone was okay. The weeks that followed the storm were a challenge, finding a place to live and figuring out how to pay for what insurance wouldn't.
Whatever I did have in savings, we had to pull a little bit out to, you know, pay for the parts of the hotel that the insurance wouldn't pay for, a rental car, you know, I had to pay for all that. That was kind of a struggle.
Diaz had decided to just repair the damaged home she owned. But on the day she filed the permits to do that, a wrecking company accidentally demolished her duplex. They'd confused her address with another scheduled to be torn down. And headlines followed.
A home demolished by mistake. That's the strange reality in Rowlett tonight.
An engineer declared the home structurally sound, but then it was mistakenly torn down.
After the accidental demolition, Diaz didn't know what to do. The thing she did know, she wasn't going to leave their neighborhood.
Let's be one of those ones that stayed. You know, even though this catastrophe happened to us, you know, the tornado didn't make us move. It didn't kick us out. We stayed.
So she filed a lawsuit against Billy Neighbor's demolition and appealed to the Small Business Administration for a disaster loan. After months of back and forth, she and the demolition company settled, and her loan came through. She had enough money to rebuild. And it's not a one-story duplex anymore. It's a two-story standalone home with an extra half bath and a garage. They moved in last June.
It was a relief. I'm finished. I'm done with all the hardships. I'm finally home, and I don't have to worry anymore. This is ours.
Diaz feels like she got her happy ending. Frances DeVinny with the Center for Public Policy Priorities says that's not typical.
If your house is destroyed, and you maybe don't have insurance that would cover the way that that house was destroyed, be it for flood or hurricane or tornado, that's completely devastating, and people cannot bounce back from that financially without significant time and significant additional resources.
Lindsay Diaz thinks about those additional resources all the time. She says if the tornado taught her one thing, it's that a stocked savings account is the key to financial security.
If anything were to ever happen again, I want to make sure I'm ready to be able to pay for what I need to, and I don't have to struggle or worry or stress out. So this time I'm going to be more focused on putting more aside.
A rainy day fund for a storm she hopes never comes again. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
See photos of Lindsay Diaz's house at KERA.org/onecrisisaway. And for the evening, mostly cloudy skies in store for us tonight. There's a chance for showers with a low around 76. At 6:30, this is KERA News.